Well, hello, Heights family and
Howdy,
friends.
howdy.
This is Wednesday, right? Happy Wednesday, everyone. Brian and I are here, and I think most of you know that this past week we started the new sermon series called Breaking Culture. I believe it's going to roll for the next couple months or so, right?
Yep.
And so one of the things that we wanted to do specifically during this series is we just wanted to have some specific times of reaction in different ways about the message on Sunday throughout the week. And so what we've decided to do is on Wednesdays, we're just going to have a discussion with whoever preached. So in this case, you preached on Sunday. And of course, you and Gary are going to walk us through this sermon series of Breaking Culture. But you preached on Sunday. And so I just want to spend the next few moments just kind of talking about that message and even talking about possibly some next steps. I thought it was fantastic, actually. I actually listened to it a couple different times. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to...
But you listened to it a couple different
times?
I did,
yeah. It was good.
That's impressive.
I know. So if you didn't have a chance to listen to Brian's message, I'm going to encourage you to go back and watch it. You can obviously see the Breed broadcast of it. And so obviously listen to our discussion today, but then go back and rewatch it for sure. But in starting this Breaking Culture, well, first of all, before we even get to that, let me ask you this question. And just in full transparency, we were looking at doing a different series, right? In August. But we pivoted in the last couple of weeks and decided to do this Breaking Culture. And you were pretty passionate about that. So before we even get into this specific Sunday's message, tell us a little bit about why you felt it was so important for us to go this Breaking Culture direction this time.
You know, it's what I mentioned at the start, quite frankly. And I'll speak for myself. I found myself, when I broke away from rhythms, in essence, a phrase is like, social distancing has led to spiritual distancing for quite a few. And I felt myself a victim of that. Like, you just get so used to rhythms of small groups and communities, and then you miss a week. It's like running, right? Like, I'll be super committed, and then after I get off that running rhythm, it's like it goes through my mind, but there's a part of me that's like, dude, I get so used to it, so familiar with not running. And I think what I mentioned at the start is I just have met with countless people, and no one has said, you know, this season, spiritually speaking, has been one of the greatest gifts in COVID.
Yeah, that's true.
So I felt like there was just this, it's not like people are rebelling and doing all these wicked, evil, sinful things. It just felt like apathy and maybe this dissonance from the Christian faith in Jesus. Back to, I was just meeting with a guy that I do discipleship with, and he was saying the exact same thing. This season, just an hour ago, has created some spiritual distancing, and so we were creating a plan for him to kind of get back on this just connection and intimacy with Jesus. So that was this heart of, like, living out your faith in a culture of contention and a culture of compromise was really the heartbeat of that. So that's where it stirred from.
And you started this week with just basically a message from 1 Peter 4, and really just resetting your mind, right?
Yep.
And I just want to read the passage of Scripture. It's really 1 Peter 4, 7.
Yep.
It said, the end of all things is near.
Yep.
Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. And you really just unpacked that verse during the entire message that you preached on Sunday. And you really encouraged us to be alert, obviously, to be sober-minded. And I loved the anchor that you had on stage, and it was
Walmart's best, right there.
Walmart's best. It was a great visual of that. But then you, towards the end of your message, you kind of went into the direction of course, the end of that verse is so that you may pray. And you said this, and I loved what you said. You said that we must understand the intimacy and impact of prayer.
And so
people may say, you know, I really want to do that. I really want to understand the intimacy. I really want to understand the impact. I really want to grow in my prayer life, but I just don't know what to do. So, like, I pray, and it just feels like I'm saying some words. It doesn't feel like it goes anywhere. And I'm just maybe stuck a little bit in my prayer life. So so if the encouragement on Sunday is we need to understand the intimacy and impact of prayer, then how would you encourage us to actually do that? How do we grow in our prayer
life? That's great. It's a great question. First thing I would say is, like, pray what you got, man. You know, like if what we do wrong in faith, I think a lot, is like, go back to that working out illustration. Mm-hmm. It's like, I haven't worked out in 6 months, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do everything right now. And so, like, I try to run, like, 5-6 miles, and then I get so worn out and so sore that I don't run again for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is people hear this, and it's like spiritual adrenaline starts pumping. They're like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to pray for 2 hours or do this.
Yeah.
And they get like 10 minutes in, and they're like, I'm done. That's it. And then they don't pray again. And so what I would just say is, pray first of all what you've got. Like, if it's 10 minutes, great. Well, what the self-fulfilling prophecy will be, the more you do something, the more your capacity increases. Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. If you go on a diet, right? Like, the more you go on a diet, you still get hungry, but you get less hungry. You eat more, mm-hmm. you start to have more of an appetite for something. You run more, you have more of a capacity. So I just say, total grace. Just go into this thing, you know what, I'm going to pray what I got. The second thing I would say is this, is identify kind of the styles of prayer, if you will. Mm-hmm. I don't think people are very, like, familiar with the idea of prayer. They just sort of say prayer is something generic. Mm-hmm. But I think there's ways in which... and I'm glad you asked this question, because I had this whole thing in my sermon, but we would have gone 45 minutes, so I had to cut it. But I was speaking about different ways in which you can pray, because okay. I think if I said to you pray, everyone would just say prayer is a generic mm-hmm. way. They wouldn't think of it as kind of different ways you can pray. And so what I was going to share on Sunday is, I think there's kind of three ways you can approach prayer. One is kind of conversational style. And conversational style is what you do at bedtime, right? Mm-hmm. Like you, or, you know, at lunch, you pray over your food. And so you're conversing with God. This is important, and it matters to God, because the Bible says the very hairs on your head are numbered. Or 1 Peter that says, cast your cares on him. Right. So conversations matter, and they're important. But then you have something where the intensity increases. And this is what we'll just move from conversation to, like, calling out something mm-hmm. specific. So someone's got a health need or something like that. I need a financial need. I'm you know, asking God to do something with my son or my daughter. Mm-hmm. So it moves from conversation to more of this calling out. The intensity increases. Most people stop at that.
Right.
What's interesting is there's a whole other category of prayer. When Jesus is referred to as praying, do you know the word that is used most associated with Jesus? Crying out. Mm. Crying out. And it's like, in, I think it's Hebrews 5, don't quote me exactly, but it says something like, Jesus was heard because of his tears and his fervent cries. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between, like, a conversation, and there's a difference between calling something out, pleading for something specific, and then there's a difference between, like, there is a soul crying for God to move and break forth. Very few Christians ever enter that crying out stage, ever. It is like they might move to calling out and pleading, but like a crying out where it is just like, you're just like, God, I won't move until I've prayed everything I've got. It's almost like that idea, you pray your guts out. Mm-hmm. For most of us, it's like, geez, and it's not bad. It's good. It's conversational. Thank you for this day. Please do this. Please do that. Do this. It's just it's a different style of prayer. And the reason I say this, and I'll end on this point, I think there's something that God turns his ear to the cries of people. So I just use my kids as an example. We have this like octagon ring, which is basically mm-hmm. like where we put our twins in, and they're you know, they play with their toys and all this. It's mm-hmm. just so they don't run all over. Well, they're always sort of, you know, making some noise, trying to get our attention. You know, they're trying to do, you know, trying to get out. So they're doing this almost conversational type thing. I'm always responsive when they're doing their conversations and watching what's going on. But there's a few times, like the other day, one cried out. Like, mm-hmm. it was like, of course, the other one bit them. So I didn't know that at the time. But I'm sitting here going, like, I was on the phone. I dropped everything.
Yeah.
Because this was different than just like a conversation or something going on or even a calling out. This was like my daughter was in need. And, I mean, I turned, dropped everything. I was there because that's my daughter mm-hmm. and she's crying out. And I just wonder what would happen if the church would raise up with the cry. I just think you would have the presence of God going, I got to be involved in the Heights because mm-hmm. these people are crying out. They're not just going, God, give me money. God, give me a good day. God, mm-hmm. give me more patience. They're going, Jesus, if you don't intervene in my friend's life, it's done. Ball game over. Mm-hmm. Jesus, if you don't change this, I'm not going to move until you do. I want more passion. I want to be mm-hmm. awakened to your word. And so this crying out is something I don't think the church has tapped into. And so what's interesting, and I know I've gone way too long, and this will be done. This is what Peter's saying, so that you may pray, so that you may cry out, so that the kingdom of God may move forth. So I would just say, pray what you got.
Right.
and start this process of maybe gradually moving towards a crying out to God, desperately pleading for him to move.
I love the fact that you started it with conversation.
Yep.
And the reason is because I think that there's a lot of people that are just of the mindset is, I don't know how to pray. Yep. I don't know what words to say.
Totally.
I'm not spiritual enough to pray. I'll leave that to the people who are ministers, who know how to do that sort of thing.
Totally.
But when you use the word conversation, we have conversations with people all the time, right? With our wives and our kids and our friends. And we can really come to God in that level. We can just have a conversation with him. And it's not about necessarily what specific words you say. Just be honest, right? And just say your words. But then I also love the fact that you ended with crying out.
Yeah.
Because I wonder... how many of our folks would feel comfortable in really crying out to their Heavenly Father? And I wonder if they don't cry out because they wonder, would it do any good if they did?
Yeah.
Like your daughter, when she cried out, she knows that, hey, mom and dad are going to be there, right? Mom and dad are going to come to my attention. And so I wonder if we had the mindset and knew that, listen, when we cry out, our Abba Father, our daddy, our spiritual daddy, he's going to be there. Right?
Yeah, totally. Well, and you're hitting the nail on the head. I think part of it, we also don't cry. Because it's, I don't know where to begin, and I don't want to do it wrong,
Right.
And there's this uncertainty of it. And I think part of it is it just requires the humility to go, I'm going to not always get this right. And what if I look weird doing this? And do I, And I just say, that's why you got to pray what you got, and just and as much as you can. It's a journey. So give yourself tons of grace. But I think... that you're spot on. There's probably multiple reasons why, but I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, just pray what you got, man.
Right.
Start. You. I think if you stay the course, you'll get there. I really believe it.
Well, we don't have tons of time, but I do want to ask you another question because that verse started with in First Peter. It starts with the end of all things is near, and so towards the beginning of your message, you asked this question. You said, "Are you ready to stand before Jesus right now?"
Mm-hmm.
And you said some great things after that, but when you said that, it just kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I'm wondering if there are people that are even listening to this right now that question, am I ready?
Yeah.
Like, what do I need to do to be ready? Like, what are those things? And so maybe they're questioning that. What would you say to them if there's somebody that heard that question, you posed it, but they're wondering, I don't know if I am ready. What do I need to do?
Yeah, I would just say, if you're watching this, pull over on the side of the road, don't just run onto the next thing. Turn your heart to God right now. It's not a long process. I said this, and it's so true. We have a reverse works mentality. When we sin, we think, you know what? I'm going to wait a few days, pay off my sin, and then God will accept me, and we don't realize it. That's actually works. You are as beautiful the day you sin as the day you preach a sermon or do this, because it's not about you. It's about grace, and we struggle with this. So what I'd say is, if you're not right with God, don't let this broadcast end without you just having a few moments, And that's the idea. I said this at the very end. That old economics phrase. I don't remember anything from economics. I do remember that phrase. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Yeah.
And I think that's the idea. The grace doesn't seem believable to us because it seems like cheap. Because we go, God can just forgive me. No, he can't just forgive you. He can forgive you because his son Jesus paid every last drop of blood.
He paid price it, right?
And we forget that, right?
Yep.
We say that, and we get familiar with it, but we go, no. He died for you.
Yep.
He paid a huge price for you. It's forgiven. So that's how you can know. It's not free. The greatest price was ever paid. So I just say, the first thing I'd say is, don't wait for your feelings to be in line. Don't wait for the process. Just turn your attention to God and go, Jesus, I just confess this. And bring that to him. Oftentimes, we want to bring sort of complete packages to God. What he really wants is us to bring the broken pieces, and he makes us whole. What we try to do is the opposite. We try to make ourselves whole in our own strength and our own adrenaline, and then we bring it to God going, see, look what I'm doing. And it's so the antithesis of grace. Grace is you bring that broken, sinful, despondent feelings, and Jesus heals it. So that's what I would say right there.
Yeah, I love the fact that grace is the first of our five G's, right?
Yep.
And so when we really believe that these five G's that we have, grace, gather, grow, give, and go, those are marks of a disciple.
Yep.
And the first mark of a disciple is somebody that has to fully understand what that word grace means. and fully understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ means. And so, I mean, I would just want to encourage, if people are watching or listening and they do have questions about their relationship with Jesus Christ, man, I'd love for them just to put in the comments or whatever, and we would love to have a conversation with them and pray with them, because we want everybody to understand the grace that Jesus Christ has to offer. But there's a second part of that, and we're over, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's a second part of that, and the second part of that is we want to make sure that we're ready to stand before Jesus. Yeah. But then, as believers, there's a bit of a responsibility to make sure that we shepherd and care for the people that are around us, to make sure that they are ready to stand before Jesus. So, what do we need to do there?
You know, I think it's. You know, as you're navigating this, as you're praying, just God will put people to mind. You know, I've often said that evangelism, we always think of evangelism as long paragraphs, and Romans wrote, evangelism can be a lot more of a sentence than it does have to be a paragraph or a sermon. So you're walking by a neighbor, hey man, can I pray for you? And just really cool. My neighbor was going through some health stuff. I just happened to walk, I was doing a walk that night, and I just said, hey, can I pray for you? And that to me is the gospel. So I don't think it has to be long, complex stuff. It is. Is God puts a verse on your heart?
I agree.
What do you need to share with somebody who might not be aware? So that'd be it. Like as you're experiencing grace, who else needs to hear that? And again, it can be a simple thing. You bring over some food with the Bible verse and just say, "Hey, one of my friends, one of our neighbors actually had COVID. I got him a cake, and we had my son draw a little Bible verse picture thing, and we gave it to him. And said, hey, we've been praying for you. We've never had a conversation about spiritual things. So evangelism can be a lot more of a hook or a sentence than it does long stuff. So I just say start with whatever it is that God puts on your heart would be it.
Yeah, and I would say who's your one, right? So ask the question, who is your one?
Yep.
And you don't have to be overwhelming. Just God reveal to me who is that one person you want me to share my relationship with Christ with. So who's that one? So, hey man, thanks so much for joining me in this discussion today.
Love it.
Appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday.
You're awesome.